A very good evening. You're welcome to another edition of Terrace Talk. It's Ivan Hurley with you this evening until 8 o'clock. Massive thanks to Tim Moynihan, who covered in for me last Monday evening. I was stateside in New York and Boston playing golf and visiting World Cup stadiums and everything else. Really nice trip. But thanks to Tim for covering in. Busy show last week, of course, after the Christy Ring and the under-20s. And obviously I'd spoken to the lads from Legion the week previous as well, and they're opening on Saturday of Johnny Colty Park, and thanks to all them for taking the time out of their busy days to chat to me before I headed away as well. We've another action-packed show this evening. Of course, our Kerry ladies starting their All-Ireland Championship with a victory over Tipperary in the group stages. We'll also be chatting a bit about some of the other games that took place over the weekend in ladies football. Our minor footballers unfortunately beaten by Kildare in the All-Ireland quarter final. We'll review that one as well, and of course we'll be looking ahead to what is a very big Kerry Kildare doubleheader next weekend between the ladies and the men's championship. In the second hour this evening, we'll be chatting to some of the Kerry under 14 ladies footballers. They were crowned All-Ireland gold champions. Well done to them. We'll be having a few of them in studio. I would also be talking to the Ukrainian athletes. Many of you might know Vladislav, but he was in the Winter Olympics in Milano Cortina this year, and he was the man that was all being talked about getting disqualified for the Olympics for his helmet was deemed to be political. But he was in the kingdom last week, and I sent Tim Moynihan out in my absence to have a chat with Vlad and about his participation in the Winter Olympics and what his helmet meant to him as well. As ever, if you want to get in touch with the programme, lines are open at 083 300 3300, or text and WhatsApp. You can call 066 712 3666, or you can email terracetalk@radiokerry.ie. And plenty of you, as I met in New York over the last couple of days, definitely listening to Terrace Talk across the water as well, which is great to hear. So you're all very welcome along this evening. So we start with the ladies football this evening. Of course, our Kerry ladies off to a winning start in their All-Ireland Championship Series. A good win over Tipperary, a big win in fact, over the girls from Tipperary, 216 to 4 points. Liam Brosnan, John Kennedy here in the studio. We'll have a couple of lads on chatting some of the other games shortly as well. Liam, you were there yesterday for the Kerry ladies, a real one-sided affair, but I'm sure Mark Burke will be delighted with the performance nonetheless.
It was, and I think not only Mark Burke and the management and the players themselves, but the Kerry supporters, mm-hmm. You know, because we kind of laid down a bit of a marker yesterday. Tipperary above in Clonmel a couple of weeks before, and it was a right dour kind of a game. We knew Tipperary were going to bring a big defensive structure up, and but to be fair to Kerry, you know, and I was talking to Joey earlier, I don't know, in the day about it, and we ran about patience, but it's not, Kerry went at him. No, there's times where we have patience, and there's times where we need to go at teams. And to be fair, from the word go, they were playing against the breeze. You know, it was a dirty old misty, heavy rain at times, and things were slippery. And just Kerry just went 100 miles an hour. You know, pressure from, you could say, from the full forward line, pushed up on the defenders when they were coming out with the ball. The goalkeeper, bit of a maverick on the Tipperary side, but to be fair, you know. No, the half forward line, the full forward line really did start, you know, where they mean to, you know, where they went on to put the pressure on, and then you could see the mistakes. Tipperary started turning over the ball very easily, and Kerry capitalised on it.
Yeah. John, I suppose from your experience, it extends to both really, but when you're in such kind of a one-sided game, especially in the championship, it might be very hard to kind of learn from things when it's like that. But overall, like, you're performing well and win like that, it can only serve as good confidence. Might have been the biggest test in the legs or whatever for the 60 minutes, but good confidence nonetheless, I'd imagine, from a win like that.
Yeah, good confidence, Ivan, and I think the win at home, it's important, and to top the group is important as well. for the draw later on, you know, and we can see like Armagh had a very good win against Cork. They were very impressive. But from a Kerry point of view, you know, throughout the league, there was a lot of players tried, and Liam has been saying it here several times, it's only just a small, there's a narrow line between victory and defeat and be playing well. Mm-hmm. You need your main players back. That was a big victory. It was a statement, really. And going into Kildare now, like, you know, the confidence is high, and, you know, hopefully to follow up with another victory against Kildare and you're in pole position.
Yeah, and the one good thing, Ivan, about him is that the last of the, you could say their big girls are playing well. Mm-hmm. You know, our full back line are excellent. Our goalkeeper, first of all, she didn't have much to do now yesterday, but she got a good save in the second half, right, to put it onto the crossbar. But girls like Emma Costello, you know, Aisling O'Connell, your midfielders, Anna Galvin chipped in with 1-2 yesterday, Mary O'Connell, and then we've a half forward line. I've seen since the Munster final, they're really working their socks off. Niamh Carmody, Niamh Conacour, and Keeve Evans. You know, and you know, they're girls that are they're punching the holes in the defence. And then you have the full forward line, and Jade and Lucy kicked 3 points yesterday, moving very well as well. Mm. You know, so and Danielle and Schaefer, then they're your two marquee forwards. You know, they're the forwards that are going to be watched probably by two or three defenders, which will open it for the rest of the girls, and that's what the girls are doing. No, they're capitalising now on space, and they're doing things that they didn't do throughout the league. And I suppose, look, to be fair to the management, they have said that through interviews and stuff like that. Like yesterday, they punched two or three of them over the bar as well. Keep the scoreboard ticking over. Mm-hmm. Conditions are poor in the first half. They had 2-9. To a point, you know, and it's very hard for a team to come out then in the second half like Tipperary. You know, they were dead and buried before they came out in the second half, and that's what you need to do for teams like that, like Tipperary, a Division 2 team, you know. So you'd be hoping that you kill them off early and carry to that.
Yeah. John, I suppose the confidence you'd take from the Waterford Munster final and the victory there, probably on show here as well, because we saw how close the Tipperary game was earlier on in the Munster Championship, and, you know, you kind of win a Munster final in the way they did. We were talking about how, you know, the great performance of Mary Ellen Bulger in goal and everything else for them to get over the line. But confidence is a big thing in sport, and I'm a firm believer of that if you can kind of get one maybe decent result, or maybe a series of results, you know, maybe tight games or whatever else, you can kind of come into this sort of a game now with pure confidence. As it seemed to be what there was on show yesterday as well.
Yeah, it's the confidence. Look, players, no matter what level you're talking about, it's momentum, it's confidence, and it's getting the result. And winning that Munster title, that was crucial, being honest. And, you know, the momentum they have, and like Liam said, things that weren't happening in the league, they happened in the Championship. And that's a good thing. They're learning from it. But let's not forget there was a lot of chopping and changing, a lot of interchange of players throughout the league. It's very difficult when that's happening to keep the momentum going. Mm-hmm. But when you have the nucleus and your main players are playing well, like Liam said, up through the middle, they played really well. The spine of the team and the confidence they got. And I think the half-hour line, working half-hour line, taking it on, but the finishers inside. And, you know, they're... It will be a nice training venue on tomorrow night or Wednesday night whenever they meet. The confidence is up, you know, you're going well, competition for places is there, and you know, the main thing is that you finish the group in top. And you have a home quarter final. I think that's crucial going forward.
Yeah, and team morale always huge, no matter what the code as well in sport. Liam, probably a two part question, and I suppose Kerry's ability to win the ball back, especially around midfield, that kind of turnover you mentioned already, really really important, but kind of pushed you up and getting the better of the Tipperary kickouts, all led to that kind of game we won, especially as you said in the first half.
It did, yeah. And look, good teams, when they put pressure on opposition teams, no, they really will capitalise on it. And Kerry did that. And I think, was it the sixth, from the fourth or fifth minute on, Kerry really pushed up. And Tipperary just couldn't get, they had their hands in the ball, but they just couldn't pass the halfway line with it. And then we were getting a couple of turnovers and we were getting a bit of joy out of it. And I think that's a lot in the ladies' football. And I suppose men's now as well, with the new rules, the kick out is huge. And Kerry did put a lot of pressure on the Tipperary kick-out. And I felt sorry for Laura Fitzpatrick in goals at times, because a lot of the girls out the field that she kicked the ball to should have received the ball, but either left it slip or a Kerry forward passed her out and broke on. So it wasn't down to the goalkeeper 100%, you know. So, but look, then you got to look at a Tipperary Division 2 team. we won't get carried away. Kerry and Tipperary. Kerry would be talked about winning silverware, whereas Tipperary are trying to build something. But I thought yesterday, kicking 2-16, no, I thought that was good because we went out in the second half and we played with the same tempo. He got his five subs on, which was good for the panel as well. Don't know, but I like it when you go out and you don't take the leg off the accelerator. They do keep driving forward because there's bigger tasks to come. Kildare will be a tough one Saturday now as well up there. We're only a point victory in the league that narrow time to keep one, us yeah. in the Division One. Don't know, so that'll be a different kettle of fish. But I think, look, going forward, I think the last three games now Kerry have played, you could see they're gradually getting better and better.
Yeah. Well, I suppose with respect to Tipperary as well, I mean, they're a team that beat Cork in the Munster Championship, came close to beating Kerry as well, as you mentioned, Division 2, but a strong side. I suppose, Liam, in general, great to see Danielle O'Leary back, I suppose, in the starting 15 as well. But attacking-wise, I know it was a good day for the defence as well when you're only conceding four. We often always lean to the attack, so I mentioned to probably everyone in the 15 and the subs came on as well, but Schieffer again chipping in 1-5, Anna Galvin 1-2, and said Danielle back in from the start as well. Some real leaders, and you mentioned kind of the old kind of workhorses, if you want to call them that, that have kind of been there for a while now, kind of leading that team, and they are kind of bringing on a lot of youngsters, as John said, who kind of trialed out in the league as well.
They are, but the one thing I saw throughout the league, I thought our defence was, there was always something good there in defensively. I just thought we were kind of struggling up front. But as a unit now, our six forwards, whether they're coming off the bench or the six that are starting, seem to be clicking a lot better. But plus our midfield as well, Anna Galvin and Mary O'Connell have been fantastic in the last three games. You know, and we are getting a lot as well, attacking powers, you could say, from our half-back line. The likes of Aisling, Emma Costello and Aoife Delane chipped in with 2 points as well yesterday. You know, Emma Costello got her point. She got a goal in the Munster final. You know, so we are starting to attack from deep as well, which the likes of the Armaz, the Galways and all these are doing that in the ladies game, you know. So, and I think when we think back when we won the All-Ireland, you need to start your attack there to a half back line, your midfield and drive forward. And I think since the Waterford game, or since the Cork game really, in St. Killarney, I think that has energised us. I think the girls have a bit of, like John said, going in training on Tuesday or Wednesday night now, there'll be a bit of a pep in the step. And like, winning breeds a good form into teams and stuff like that. You know? So I think, you know, Kerry going into Kildare, they're in a good place.
Yeah, Tipperary missing a few as well. I know their kind of centre back was out with an ACL, a couple gone to Australia. I know Anna Rose Kennedy wasn't available as well. As you said, look, when Tipperary are a Division 2 team up against Division 1, and in that kind of heated championship, you need kind of everyone going for you, and probably the conditions and everything else to be in your favour. So it was going to be a tough ask for Tipperary coming down to Tralee. That doesn't take anything from Kerry's victory, of course, but from a Tipperary point of view, Liam, we'll see them again in Munster next year and potentially league and everything else, that's you know, they're a good side and they're an up and coming side as well.
They are an up and coming side, and you could see, look, they're building something. And look, David Powers, their manager, and John, we've seen him down through the years with the men's football. No, has a lot of success with minors and under 21s, and even with went on to the Tipperary seniors as well. And you could see he's kind of trying to build something defensively, and hopefully, I suppose, in his head that he might be able to get the attacking thing going maybe next year. But defensively, they're getting a lot of bodies back. But the only thing at this level, and whether it's men's or ladies football, you need those marquee forwards, you need them scorers, and they were just lacking that yesterday. Emma Morrissey, probably the full forward, all right, showed a bit of something, but she just didn't have the support around with her.
Yeah. John, it's a great turnaround of fortunes for Kerry, I suppose, in the last kind of couple of weeks we've seen. I mean, went through the league campaigns, you mentioned, okay, trying out a lot of teams, needs to beat Kildare in the last game to survive in Division 1. Kind of bounced back then in Munster and looked really strong and won the Munster final against a really fancied Waterford team who had come to Killarney and overturned Kerry as well. Went on, as I said, to win Munster and then have this win as well. So, upturning fortunes for Mark Burke and his management team. And I'd say there'll be a good bit of confidence going to Kildare now that you'll win there and get out at the top of the group, have your home quarter final, which we know is crucial in the ladies' game. We've seen it used are advanced over the last couple of years with a big crowd in Tralee as well for that one. So, you know, positive signs returning for Kerry after what was a tough league.
Yeah, it was definitely a tough league, Ivan. But I suppose, listening to Mark Burke and the interviews throughout the league, and we noted this, Liam, a few times, he wasn't unduly worried about the way they were playing, maybe about the application, particularly the forwards. And Liam had said this, you know, creating chances, not taking them. But the good thing is they were creating them. And I think it's all about having your full, your top team out. And you want your best 15 on the field. And I think that was typified against Tipperary, and that, you know, Liam mentioned the goalie, Liam Fitzpatrick. Like, you'd feel sorry for a keeper. The movement outside wasn't there. Kerry attacked everything. And they didn't allow Tip get the ball. But when we got it, you know, the middle eight was very impressive. You know, half back line going forward, the two midfielders contributing, and then the half forward line, creating space for the finishers inside. So it was very positive. And, you know, hopefully avoiding injuries, because every team, no matter what level or what code it is, you need your best players on the field. And if you have your best players, then you have the people to come on to make a difference when it's needed. But certainly, a change in fortunes, have done well. The win against Cork was crucial, and I think winning the Munster title, and the confidence has gone through the team. You can see it. It's heads up football. You know, they're taking the easy options, like Liam said, fisting a few balls over the bar. In the league, they went wide or they were blocked down. Mm-hmm. That's the difference. And coming good at the right time. And, you know, hopefully a big Kerry crowd in for to see them next Saturday before the Kerry seniors football men's team. And all that adds to it. But, you know, there's a vibe around yesterday and today about the Kerry ladies back on track, looking good again. And it's people, you know, they want to see success. And I think throughout the league, it was a bit of doom and gloom early on that they were going to be relegated. But they did enough. And they came out with a 1-point win against Kildare, which was crucial to keep Division 1 status.
Yeah, and I think when it comes to the All-Ireland and everything else, that's where you want to see Kerry competing right at the very end of this as well. A couple of other counties well in the mix, and that includes Galway. They had a big win over Meath, 221-19. The sides were level at half-time. Dara Walsh is on the line. He was watching that one. Dara, you're welcome to Terrace Talk. Thanks for taking the time out to chat to us. A real statement win by Galway.
Oh, indeed it was. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, very, very much so. Like you said there, like it was a level game at half time, but you know it was, you know, there was a big factor was the wind there. Like it was very strongly in favour of Meath in the first half, and they looked for a few minutes in the second half like Meath might be able to handle play against the wind a bit. They got a couple of points to go to ahead, and but then kind of Galway took over after that. I think they scored, I think it was 2-8 without reply, and they kind of, like as you said, kind of put out a statement of that they are really want to challenge the All-Ireland this year, and certainly looks very impressive in the second half.
Yeah, looking good against last year's beaten finalists, the course in Meath as well. Dara, were you disappointed with them in the second half, or were the conditions really just up against them?
Yeah, well, I think there was an element of, like, they just didn't do enough probably in the first half to kind of, you know, because they had got a goal early on to go 4 ahead, and they found it a bit hard to build on that. But yeah, it was kind of, I suppose, like, they conceded 2 goals very quickly, and the kind of challenge really fizzled out after that. And unfortunately, I think they're just going through a very kind of tough time at the moment. Like, have lost a lot of players the last few years. Like, obviously, people know about the players who have gone to Australia, but there's also, I think they've had quite a few injuries, like a few ACLs. And, you know, just it just kind of feels like the kind of depth of the squad isn't maybe there at the moment. And you still would have hoped, like, especially being the home team, that they would have been able to kind of try and reduce that gap a bit in the second half, but unfortunately just went away from them. Unfortunately, you know, I suppose the confidence was probably hit around the third quarter when Galway really took over the game, really.
Yeah, and for Galway now, it's Tyrone up next. Obviously, the home game in Group 4 as well, which is important. You always want to win your home games, but to get the away win first, it might take the pressure off a small bit, but I'm sure from a Galway perspective, they'll be going into that all guns blazing to come out and get their home quarter final as well.
Oh, of course, yeah. That's kind of the benefit of having played like 2 weekends in a row. You can kind of get the quarterfinal and the home quarterfinal if you get those 2 wins. And I suppose the way the Connacht Championship is for them is just them and Mayo this year forcing Leitrim to get relegated. So there's kind of a big gap between their league final and then obviously the Connacht final, and then from the Connacht final to yesterday. So you know, they've had have quite a few weeks in between games. So I think they'll be glad to have a couple of games on the bounce pretty quickly, and then they can kind of get themselves into good shape for hopefully a quarterfinal. Obviously, Tyrone, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they kind of get on, because obviously they're promoted from the Intermediate Championship last year, and did very well making the Ulster final and put up a good show, very good show against Armagh in the final. So it certainly won't be an easy game, but I suppose home advantage, you'd imagine up in Tuam, it would be a big help to Galway. And they'll be hoping now to get that win and make sure they're back into the last eight, which is certainly the very least where they want to be this year.
Yeah, do Galway still kind of have that point to prove after last year? I suppose Nowry lost to Dublin in that semi-final, and you know, the way they had the year went for Galway, probably deserved to be in the final, but unfortunately that's the way football goes. So probably something to, you know, probably on the backs of the Galway girls, they want to kind of go one better this year and get to the final first and foremost, and probably hopefully go on and win it from their perspective as well.
Oh, I'd say so, yeah, because I suppose most of the way the semi-final panned out, obviously lost extra time, but it was only the very, very last kick of the game from Hannah Tyrrell that brought it into extra time in the semi-final against Dublin last year. So they probably, I'm sure they would have felt that if they'd gone into the final, they would have had a very good chance of winning. So that's kind of, the point that kind of proves themselves that they can get over the hurdle, because they have lost a few Division 1 league finals and a couple of All-Irelands and kind of more recent times. And I suppose like they want to show like that they can get over the final hurdle and climb those steps, because obviously, like, I suppose until this kind of iteration of the Galway team doesn't, like, I mean, obviously they won kind of back in 2004, but you know, they kind of want to show that this modern team are capable of kind of taking that step and getting back to the very top again.
Just from outside the county, Dar, before I let you go, what are Kerry's chances of being talked about outside the county of getting back to All-Ireland winning ways? I mean, it's been it was a tough enough league to survive at the end. We're just chatting with our panel here, just surviving towards the end of that league campaign, but came through to win Munster against the fancied Waterford side and had a good big win against Tipperary the weekend as well. Are Kerry seen as a good threat for this All-Ireland from outside the county?
I'd imagine so. Like, I think the feeling is like it is kind of very open, that, you know, There's no kind of, I suppose, clear team that, like, seems to be way ahead of the pack, because obviously Dublin the All-Ireland final last year won it by a good margin, but they've lost five or six of the starting team this year, unfortunately for them. So they it's still very much up in the air just how strong they're going to be this year. And I mean, Kerry, just certainly by basing on yesterday's performance, like, that was a statement of their own from them, and I think people still very much expect them to be challenging. Obviously, you know, the league didn't go as well this year for them, but I suppose, like, they had been having 4 or 5 years straight kind of making the winner Division 2 or Division 1 final, so it was bound to be a year where maybe it didn't quite all go for them, but they seem to be getting a lot of their players back, and like gets a very strong team out. And you'd imagine, especially if they get the home quarter final, like we mentioned about Galway and others, if they get that home quarter final and manage to get through that, I mean, then they've as good a chance, I think, as anybody to really do some big this year as well.
Absolutely. Dara, thanks very much. Really appreciate your time coming on with us this evening, and I'm sure we might catch up a little later on the championship as well.
Thanks very much. Thank you.
No bother. That's Dara Walsh there, freelance journalist who covered Galway Mead over the weekend. We'll take a break on Terrace Talk for this evening, and we'll be back chatting a small bit Dublin Mayo and then Kerry against Kildare next week as well, after we take this quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel, proud to support the heart of Kerry Sports.
Now, you're welcome back to the programme. We'll stick with ladies football for the moment. And it was a big win for defending champions at Dublin over Mayo. 3-12 to 12 points, the final score in that one. The defending champions, I'd say, making a strong start to their title defence after a small bit like Kerry, a similar poor league campaign from the Doves, with back to winning ways. Stuart Tynan, of course, a sports reporter with the Western Peak. People on the line. Stuart, wasn't to be for the Mayo side of the house, but Dublin definitely looking strong for their title defence now after that performance.
Yeah, they certainly are, and what was very impressive from a Dublin standpoint was their scoring efficiency. I think they only had 4 or 5 wides throughout the game, and what Dublin really did, well, was very impressive, was just punishing Mayo when it really mattered. I mean, two of Dublin's goals came from, the first goal came from an interrupted pass by Neith Heverton on a Sinead Cafferty, and she started and finished the move with her midfield partner Orla Nolan, and finished with authority past Laura Brennan. And then the second one also came from a turnover in the second half midway through, and the way Dublin broke at pace was very, very impressive, and it was a brilliant ball that was played into Heverton for the second goal. And what Dublin probably have that many teams are still the envy of, despite a number of departures from last season, is just the quality they can bring in off the bench. Kate Sullivan came in for the second half, the multiple-time All-Ireland winner and All-Star, and she spun Lucy Wallace late in that second half for Dublin's third goal. And, you know, Dublin, from the second half in particular, controlled the game very, very well. For Mayo, it'll be very, very frustrating that they had a number of goal chances, in particular in the first half after a bright start, but did not take them. And Dublin goalkeeper Abby Shields also came to the rescue on a couple of occasions. But from a Dublin perspective, yeah, after a disappointing league, which they were relegated, look, they're going to be very determined to go on and retain that All-Ireland title. You know, there's a great saying, league is league and championship is championship. And Dublin are one of a number of teams, along with Kerry and Armagh and Galway, who will definitely feel they have realistic ambitions of winning the All-Ireland this year.
Yeah, it's a massive game now. A week break for Mayo, which might be welcome before having to travel to Donegal for that final group game. Always tough, you kind of have to leave it to the last game. The format doesn't really allow for too many hiccups in this one, so a must win for Mayo heading the relatively short journey up to Donegal in 2 weeks.
Absolutely, and Mayo manager Diana Hoare will be very grateful that there is a week break, because it's been very much an injury hit year for Mayo so far. They've already lost Daniel Caldwell to a season-ending injury, and there's going to be serious doubts over the availability of Fiona McHale and Ella Brennan, who both went off in the opening quarter. Fiona McHale, I think, went off with a calf injury, and Ella Brennan's injury looked a bit more serious. She landed quite awkwardly on her knee early in the first half. And that means and to be fair to the likes of Maeve Delaney and Fionnuala Collins, although they did very, very well, but again, Mayo manager Diana Hoare, she is losing a lot of regulars very quickly, which is not ideal. What we're going into a huge game against Donegal in 2 weeks' time. Now, obviously, they'll be waiting this weekend to see how Donegal cope against Dublin. Dublin will be big favourites for that game to not just win the game, but win it on top of the group to secure a home quarter final. And if that's the case, that means that game between Mayo and Donegal in 2 weeks is effectively a shootout to see who goes into the quarter-final draw and who ends up in a relegation playoff. Both counties, I think, were in the relegation playoff last year. I think Mayo had defeated Leitrim in a relegation semi-final to secure their senior status. I'm sure Mayo will not want to go through another relegation playoff again. But looking at that game against Dublin, you know, there is green shoots for them. I mean, they did play very, very well in the first half, but if they can just take some of the chances that they created, Mayo will be quietly confident of getting a big result against Donegal. They had played in the league early this year, and Donegal narrowly beat them, and Mayo will have wondered what might have been, because that win for Donegal put them into the Division 2 final, and they went on to beat Cavan as well. So Mayo will wonder what might have been if under Diana Hoare's first year, that they could have gone on to win the league title, secure Division 1 football for next year. But look, as I said, league is championship, it's championship. And if Mayo go out and get a win in 2 weeks' time, I think that will be all forgotten.
Are you personally a fan of the championship structure, the group stages? Again, it's sort of as much as a group stage, it's more like you can lose one and you have to win the second one. Your reward for winning two is the home quarter final. So a nice little really condensed championship over the case of the 3 weeks before we hit the proper knockout stuff. Personally, I find it nice. I think it's a nice quick fire kind of way of getting rid of a couple of teams as well.
Absolutely. I mean, I haven't heard too many complaints over the championship structure over the last few years. Mayo have been on both ends of it. I mean, they've gone out and topped groups. They've secured home quarterfinals. They've also been on the road away in quarterfinals, and they've been victorious in each of them. Like last year, though, they were probably I think they played Kerry in the championship group stages last year. They gave a good account of themselves before falling to defeat, and then obviously ended up in that relegation playoff. But I think for the championship structure, I think supporters enjoy, especially players enjoy as well, because it is quick fire. And you know, your championship, while maybe over in a couple of weeks, you know, all teams know where they stand.
Yeah, most definitely. Finally, before I let you go, Stuart, outside the county, I asked Dara this a little earlier on as well. You've mentioned Kerry as one of kind of the big three or four hitters. What do you make of Kerry's chances? You know, a good win the Munster final against Waterford, and that backed up by a big win against Tipperary yesterday as well. So kind of the Kerry that we know back after a poor league campaign. But as you mentioned already, championship is championship and league is league. Are Kerry in one of the top four, maybe five contenders for this All-Ireland championship?
Oh, 100%. Kerry, along with Dublin, along with Armagh, along with Galway. And, you know, maybe there could be an argument to be made whether Cork, who won the Division 1 title, may recover from that heavy defeat to Armagh to be one of the outside contenders. I think all five of those counties would have realistic ambitions of having a serious crack at the All-Ireland Championship this year. I would agree with probably some of the earlier analysis. I don't think there's one outstanding team who is probably a cut above the rest. Dublin won the All-Ireland last year, beating Galway very well, but as you said, they have lost a few of their key players who have been such a cornerstone of a successful team for so many years. So maybe Dublin have just fallen slightly back, but they still remain a dangerous team, and you know, in my view, they will remain the team to beat. But the likes of Kerry, likes of Armagh, likes of Galway, and possibly Cork as well, I don't think they'd fear Dublin, and I think it could be a very open championship this year.
Yeah, definitely exciting times to come. Stuart, thanks a million for joining us. Pleasure having you on. And hopefully, from your perspective, Mayo will get over the line against Donegal and you'll have a couple more games to go and cover for yourself.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, and I suppose Mayo football, it's from the men's side as well, it's been up and down at both ends of the extreme end. So hopefully the Mayo ladies can make things just a bit more settled and give us a good run over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. Fingers crossed. Stuart, thanks a million for taking the call this evening.
Thanks for having me.
That's Stuart Tynan there of the Western People looking at Mayo against Dublin, beaten on this occasion, but a big game against Donegal in 2 weeks. We mentioned the Kerry ladies out against Kildare next week. We'll chat to the lads a bit about that after the break shortly. But lads, before we go to that break and look ahead to what's on next weekend, I just want to talk about, I suppose, the Kerry Miners. John, disappointing, I suppose, really, to be beaten 4-12 to 2-13 All-Ireland quarter-final against a really, really good Kildare side, to be fair. Fair enough to say that Kerry were the second best?
Yeah, second best, Ivan. You know, I suppose tonight we saw them against Cork. Liam and myself, we just remarked, you know, the physical power of Cork, and you know, Kildare were similar. You know, they were the better team throughout. 1-11 to 5 points at half time. Kerry got a few goals near the end, you know, but it was, they brought it to 6 points, and maybe there was a glimmer of hope, but you know, there was we were second best, really. Very disappointing result, disappointing performance, and I know that Mark, in his interview, you knew that he was disappointed, but look, like all good Kerry men, there's you're looking forward. I suppose one of the positives is there's quite a number, I think there's 9 underage for next year, which is a positive, but you know, 12 months is a long way to time to wait, and obviously they'll be looking at the county championship now and club games to build and you know, to start the preparation for next year. But Kildare won in merit. And we had no look, really. I think, you know, there was one of the goals, the keeper, Sean Sargent, he slipped. It was a mishit and the ball ended up in the net. And it kind of typified Kerry's performance. Mm-hmm. But disappointing. And no question about it, Kildare a better team.
Yeah, and Kildare looking good maybe for the remainder of this championship as well. First time they've beaten Kerry at minor level. Liam, as John said there, I think that kind of that 9 being bedded in. I remember listening to Mark O'Shea at the start of the campaign, I think before they went to Waterford in an interview, saying he was kind of going to somewhat blind, kind of not 100% sure how everyone would fare out. So like, you know yourself that Miner's gone that year younger, you know, I suppose a bit more, I wouldn't say immaturity is the wrong thing to say, but you know, just a bit more maturing, that those 9 come in next year will have a serious experience got from this year, no doubt that'll stand to them next year as well in the building phase looking ahead to 2027.
It will, Ivan, and obviously look, the men beside me will tell you more than anyone, you know, losses like this will hurt, and you know, you will learn from them, and I think youngsters will know as they will, because they've a huge effort being put in, mm-hmm. you know, from the parents driving them to the matches, and you know, there's at minor level there's a big kind of a, I suppose it's a family kind of a thing, John, really, yeah. Isn't it? And they will be very disappointed, but no, you can't take it away. Kildare were, you know, they were the better team on the day. I think physicality was huge, and I would agree with you, Ivan. No, there's a big difference between a 16-year-old and a 17-year-old. We always said that there was a big difference between a 17-year-old and an 18-year-old in the old rules. Mm-hmm. But now there is, and I just thought, like, you know, they hassled us. They had two or three bodies around us at times, and we just couldn't get out of the tattle. I thought their half-hour line were very good. There was a Logan Tinnison and a Greg Kelly centre-forward and Ogan Lines. Caused us a lot of bother, got on a lot of ball, and then Keane Keogh hit his two goals, you know. So, but look, there's a lot of learnings for Kerry. You know, they're young boys. They wore the green and gold. You know, it's a big honour for them. I'm sure a lot of these fellas we will see again, but obviously when we lose a game like that, it's always kind of leaves a bit of hurt there.
Yeah, to be fair to them, John, though, they never said die, and to be fair, every time Kildare kind of stretched a small, but Kerry came back with either a 2-pointer or a goal or whatever else, they were still in it right till the end. And even though you might kind of look back and say Kildare were much the better team, to be fair to Kerry, they definitely had that kind of fighting spirit of never say die until the very end.
Oh, there's no question about that, Ivan. They never dropped their head. They kept going. They kept working away. You know, you look at it in the first half, Kildare were 1-4-4 up with 2 or 3 minutes to go with a strong wind behind them. And they kicked 3 2-pointers then. Centre-back Doran came up and...
really
and
pushed them on.
It really pushed them on. And that was the difference. The sign of a good team, I suppose, always is when you need the score, that you'll get it. Mm-hmm. But be fair to Kerry, they kept working. They didn't give up. And that's a very important thing to see because, it, you know, they were fighting an uphill battle, but they stayed at it right to the very end. There'll be satisfaction in that from the management team. But, you know, there'll be questions asked because, you know, we're coming back to it again. The physicality, you look at Cork, we remarked it at night, Liam and myself, they look like an under-20 team. Mm-hmm. Physically big, but developed and able to play football. And, you know, as Liam said, we have lads that have another year to go, so... they're in the development stage and there will be better players for it. And, you know, there's nothing to focus the mind better than a defeat for everybody, management and players. And they'll go away and they'll hurt from that and, you know, they'll come out better players.
Yeah,
and you could see even from the game yesterday, the mistakes that were made, they're very innocent mistakes. And it's like watching under-16 football.
No, you nervousness.
And pure innocent mistakes, and no, you would feel sorry for him because it's like I said, it's a big occasion, and we said it here earlier with the last couple of years when since they brought the age group down, it's probably the team that makes the less mistakes will win the match.
Yeah,
because it is one on mistakes, especially at that level now.
Yeah, no, 100%. Kildare as a county, though, really, really strong now, aren't they, with Kenneth Gaines? You look at it as kind of underage, strong here. They've seen it over the last couple of years, hurling very strong as well, even up to senior level. So Kildare, definitely a county back on the rise, Liam.
They are, Ivan, but sure, they have huge... huge numbers.
Yeah,
to know the population up there, you'd expect them to be like Dublin is coming out to meet them, so they have the pick there just to get it organised. So I hope they're not getting ahead of us for the weekend.
Fingers crossed. We might have a few more years of senior. We'll hope next Saturday. Lads, we have to take a break, and we will preview that game, and of course the Kildare ladies against the Kerry ladies as well, all happening next Saturday. We'll preview both of those games after this quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel. Proud to support the heart of Kerry Sports.
Now you're welcome back to Terrace Talk. We're in the company of John Kennedy and Liam Brosnan. A big white against green and gold doubleheader next weekend, of course. First up in Newbridge will be Kildare against Kerry and the ladies, and then that followed by the men's game. Both two crucial games for the kingdom. I suppose starting with the ladies, and look, I suppose somewhat job done with the win over Tipperary means you can, you know, you don't want to rest on your laurels, but you're kind of guaranteed your quarterfinal place pretty much now, unless, especially given the top score. But I'm sure for Mark Burke and his management team and the girls themselves to go up there, get the win, and win be 2-2, get your home quarterfinal, and, you know, don't take the foot off the gas at all, I'd imagine, will be the approach.
Definitely, Ivan. That's what it's all about. Keep the momentum going now. A win, I think it will be important, but I think a good win would be even better, because now we said it before the Tipperary match, this is where we want to lay down a marker, you know, because you'll have the likes of Dublin, Armagh, Galway, and these teams are doing it, so you want to be spoken in the same category. And I think going up to Newbridge next day, no more just like our men's, it's going to be a tough ask because we've seen them in the league, we only came away with a 1-point victory, but I think this Kerry team have improved dramatically. You know, they're playing well as a unit. You know, from 1 to 15 and the subs that are coming on, they seem to know what it's all about now. We've an attacking forward line now that are kicking scores and keeping the scoreboard going, and I think our defence is good and solid. Our goalkeeper's been fantastic, and the girls coming off the bench are making a difference as well, you know. So I think I'd like to see a good performance and a good win, Ivan, because I think they're well capable of it.
Yeah, I'm sure you're of a similar mindset, John, that, you know, you're winning now and the momentum's with you. You want to keep that, and you went up there, maybe got beaten by Kildare, you're into a quarterfinal, you might be away, you know, to one of the big hitters, whatever else. So go up there and get the job done.
Yeah, definitely, Ivan, get the job done, keep the momentum going, I think, and big Kerry crowd up there at the weekend, you know, they may not all be in for the start, but certainly for the second half or late in the first half, you'll have a big Kerry crowd in there, and I think that's going to add to it, because, you know, the team buys into the support, and the support will be determined and how vocal they are in how the team is going. So both work off each other, so hopefully that they'll continue, that they'll win the game. But away from home, it's always different to being at home. Mm-hmm. That you know, it's the same pitch. It's the same thing. You still have to go out and do it, but home venue is always worth a few pints. But, you know, I think that they'll be good enough. Like Liam said, team performance going well, confidence high, and a good start to the day for Kerry, hopefully.
Yeah, and you mentioned the importance of home advantage there, John, and the reward for a result against Kildare will be home advantage in a quarter final of the All-Ireland Series. So really, really important, and best of luck to the girls, and of course the men's in Newbridge as well on Saturday. Have a text in on this one. Isn't it wonderful that TG Cahir will be televising the Kerry ladies, but disgraceful that they can't be allowed to televise the men's senior game? Or am I incorrect on the reason? Yeah, so it's obviously the rights issues and everything else, I suppose, disappointing in one sense that the Kerry men's won't be shown anywhere, not even on subscription or anything else. Great, obviously 100% of the women's are on TG Cahir, but it begs the question, if the TG Cahir cameras are there, could they not just flick a switch and put them onto GA Plus or onto RT or whatever else it is? It is disappointing, because it's one of the standout ties of the weekend, Liam, because you've obviously got a huge one for Kerry. It's a must win, obviously must win for Kildare as well. You've got the history of Jack O'Connor being up there, and you've got the current All-Ireland against the current Tailteann Cup champions. It's, to me, it's one of the standout games of the weekend.
It is, Ivan, without a doubt. Like you said, All-Ireland champions versus the Tailteann Cup champions. We all hear the Newbridge and Nowhere saying, you know, so it's amazing. It's, you know, that, and like you said, the TV cameras are up there already. But I suppose, look, that's the GAA now. As we said here a couple of times, John, we're going down a kind of a different road altogether on that side of it. And it's, as I say, you could have another program on it, because it's just a pity for the people that can't watch it and they'll have to listen to Radio Kerry. Because you think back to last year, the game that wasn't televised, what happened? You know, so I hope it's not an omen for us, you know, that kind of way. But I think we're going into the Lions Den. I don't think there would be many Kerry supporters now thinking that we're going to go up here and get it easy, because I hope we can. But I just think that this Kildare team, no, they have nothing to lose. No, All-Ireland champions come to town, a nice tight stadium, 15,000 capacity. There'll be a big Kildare crowd there, and I suppose you have the Jack and the Keane O'Neill thing there as well, you know. So there's a lot of elements there, but I think, look, that Kerry need to go out, and I think from the word go at them. Like, because I think the longer you leave the likes of Kildare and these teams in the game, the harder you make it for yourself. So I think if we get the chances, we need to put them away early.
Yeah, most definitely. And a good plug in, obviously, live full commentary on Radio Kerry, no subscription, no ads, no anything. You're full on commentary from Tim and Ambrose as ever on Saturday, and obviously the ladies game on previous as well, which is fantastic. Back to back doubleheader. We only need to send one set of gear up to the country as well, which is very handy for our technical team behind the scenes as well. But back to the game, John, look, I suppose big question everyone's asking me, do we have any inside information on injuries? As I said, the camp is so tight-knit now, you wouldn't find out like years ago. But look, I suppose Kerry had a lot of injuries coming out of that Donegal game, and there was so much talk about suspensions and everything else. We know we're in the clear for all that now, so it's just a case of maybe putting the head down and getting the job done this week in training and going up to Kildare and putting in a performance.
Yeah, it's all about performance. Victory is crucial. We're not so sure about the injury front, and you know, we'll need as many bodies back as we can, because this is the ingredients of being a really tough game. On paper, Kerry should win comfortably, But you know, paper, you'll never win anything on paper. Kildare and Westmeath was a cracking game in Leinster. Now Kildare were well beaten by Galway, but you know, every game takes on a life of its own. And as Liam said there, you know, it's set up in Newbridge, compact stadium, great atmosphere, full house there, and you know, all the little ingredients and the sideshows coming in, you know, they mean nothing when the ball is thrown in. But Jack O'Connor going back, and you know, Keane O'Neill, Brian Flanagan coming in, great expectations about Kildare. Mm-hmm. We've said it off the air and we've said it several times. They're a county that's underachieving, to be fair. You know, Naas going really well. They're not converting that into the inter-county scene. And, you know, there's glimmers at different times that they're going to do something. But they're always a big, athletic, physical team. Mm-hmm. You know, fellas like Kevin Feely, look, and Ben McCormack and Lawler and Dempsey, they're all very good footballers. And like Liam said, it's about starting well. And, you know, our team will be interesting to see what's our 15. How are the injuries? We'll be getting game time into the lads. And most importantly is that we don't suffer any more injuries, because the time is coming now. You can't afford to suffer them.
Yeah, and round three, absolutely crucial if Kerry do come through it, because you're going to be playing the losers of the winners, if that makes sense. Yeah. So you're going to be on, but guaranteed a tough tie in round three as well, should Kerry come through against Kildare. Liam, John mentioned there, and that kind of Kildare losing by 13 to Galway. It was a heavy defeat to kind of be on the back of. But again, this round does take on a new lease of life. They knew you kind of had, I wouldn't say free hit, but you were still in the championship if you lost the first time out. Now you're at home against the Ireland champions with potentially nothing to lose from a Kildare perspective. They'll obviously want to go on through the championship and prove their worth after winning the Tailteann last year. But, you know, it's more or less a free hit. I'd imagine most of their supporters would be saying the same. Go at Kerry, they're hurting after Donegal, you know, right up a few of their lads. We've seen what they're capable of. You know what I mean? You can kind of see from a Kildare perspective that it's more of a dangerous game for Kerry than Kildare, I think.
It has, Ivan. It has ambush written all over it, to be fair. Because like you said, all the things there, you know, David Clifford coming to town, you know, the Kildare boys will be mad to have a go at the Kerry forwards, you know, and have a go at the Kerry defenders. And you know, if you're a Kildare player, it's like I said, a tight field, tight stadium. You know, there's going to be a big crowd there. Was it we just said off the air the time that they had the Newbridge and nowhere, they caught Mayo in that game. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's and I agree with John, a once off game, it takes a life on its own. And I think that if they're in the game and if they get a bit of momentum and the crowd behind them, you know, that's when they're dangerous. And we've seen it through history down like we had Sligo above here in Athlone-Stack Park, you know. Mm-hmm. not easy to get away when things are going against you. And but I just think that the Kerry players, if they come in focused, depending on our injuries, it'll be interesting to see who's going to be on the bench, who's going to be starting. Mm-hmm. Because I think whoever's able to play will have to be on the bench now from now on, because like if you lose, you're out again the following week. So if you can make the bench this week, I don't know how you're going to play the following week. You know, so I'd like to see a lot of our big boys back, either starting or on the bench for the weekend.
Mm-hmm, most definitely. Just got a text in there as well. Evening lads, good chat as per usual. I'm driving myself to the game, but find it strange that Kerry agreed to a 5:30 throw-in when the last train out of Newbridge back to the Kingdom is at 7:10. It is kind of a strange one, half five on a Saturday. It usually sounds like a TV game, John. We know the war over that. And no TV, so yeah. Kind of a strange one. Now, okay, granted, the ladies are on previous to them in Newbridge as well, which is obviously fantastic support to get the two games out of it. But could have maybe had it on a small bit earlier, even 2 and 4, 1 and 3, or whatever you want to call it. Like, doesn't matter that it's clashing with anything on the TV, because we're not going to be on it anyway. So, strange move.
Yeah, it's a strange time, Ivan, as your listener said there. You know, it's half five, you know, as you said, it could have 1 and 3. But look, and I suppose the other side of it is, with similar to a few of the games this year, is that, you know, you have to be in to get your seat in the stand. And that means the people being there a lot earlier. So, you know, you've possibly been there for 3 hours, like. Mm-hmm. And that's a long time. And, you know, but again, coming back to that, Ivan, the big disappointment for me is that it's not on some channel. Because let's not forget the older generation. Mm-hmm. You know, they listen to Radio Kerry, obviously. There's no, but like, they like to see the game, and it's not there for them. I think it's hugely disappointing. And you know, I suppose the other game, Cork and Donegal, that's a huge game. Not on either. Yeah. Let's be fair. It's not all about Kerry. You know, seeing the Rebels going up to Donegal, that's a cracking game encounter. But look, they're not on. hugely disappointing.
We live in a day and age where even if it was €10, €15, if you had to pay for it, you would. It's just, it being completely blacked out seems strange to me. I know, big father of the League of Ireland, every game shown every week, and you just pay your fiver and you watch it, and if you don't want to pay the fiver, you don't watch it. It's as simple as that, but at least the option is there, should they say. Should the Kingdom come true, the Kildare game, can they play Cork in the next round, and is it neutral venue for round three?
Neutral venue, but they can't play Cork.
Neutral venue, but they can't play. Liam Brosnan, if you ever want to answer a question, text Liam Brosnan.
The Christmas quiz.
yeah, there you go.
Very definite, yeah.
That's 30 seconds to go. Looking forward to the World Cup?
Looking forward to the World Cup. My favourites? You're going to ask me who I think. I'd have Spain.
Really?
I would think about Spain. Argentina or Spain, I think, because of the heat. I think they might say it'll suit them, yeah.
John Kennedy?
I wouldn't disagree with him. And let's not forget about Ericsson, you know. Another scare. Maybe is a time to call it a day.
I'd say it probably
fantastic
is now,
player, but lucky.
Hang up the boots. Oh, very lucky. And again, the pacemaker kicking in. Go on, John, in award. Who's going to win the World Cup?
I'd agree with Liam. I think Spain will have a shout. I'll be honest with you.
I'm going to go with Argentina. Being on in America. Lads, we go for news at 7. Thanks a million.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel. Proud to support the heart of Kerry sports.
Breaking down the weekend sporting action. This is Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Now, so you're welcome back to the second hour of Terrace Talk. It's Ivan Hurley with you until 8 o'clock this evening, as ever. Our text lines are remaining open for tonight, 083 300 3300. You can text or WhatsApp that number. You can call 066 712 3666, or you can email terracetalk@radiokerry.ie. If you're further afield or maybe want to get in touch with something during the week, you're more welcome to pop us a message at any time. Now, I've been joined in studio by our Kerry under 14 ladies football team, who've been crowned All-Ireland champions, Gold Series champions, if nonetheless. It's a fantastic achievement, and well done to the girls. We've got Aisling Fenton, we've Elizabeth Brosnan, Amy Rose Shanahan, Orla Lyons, and we have, of course, their manager as well, who is Maria Murphy, a Kilcommon woman not far from my parish at home. You're all welcome, girls. Thanks very much for taking the time out. I know it's school and everything else, so you're probably finished school, are you? You're not juniors or level, are you? You're
enjoying their lions.
So that's it. No, the summer holidays are here, so you've plenty of time to come in and chat to us. But usually when we're talking to people, we're taking them away from homework or something. I'm being made felt guilty, but we can take one of your summer evenings where the sun isn't shining anyway. Maria, I'll start with you first, I suppose. Look, fantastic group of girls. You had a great year. I know you had the two teams and everything else and split down. It's great to see so many girls, you know, partaking in football first and foremost, but I'm sure you had a great bunch this year as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. They were an incredible bunch of girls that we had. As you said there, we had, I suppose, trials in November, and we whittled it down across the county where we brought 60 with us forward. So as you said, we had two panels. We had our development, and then we had our A Championship. But yeah, throughout the year, I suppose, all 60 girls were just a credit to their families. They were the commitment, the determination, the fun that they actually brought to football, you know. I said, you know, they've great friendships formed, but absolutely, like, you know, I suppose any success is kind of built on the foundation of a team, and they were an absolutely fantastic unit to have.
Yeah, you're saying you kind of got them in November, and obviously playing up right into the last couple of weeks as well. So a huge commitment, as you say. There's school, where I know we're joking about homework now and stuff at the nicer end of it, but you know, it's putting them from all over the county at that age. It is difficult, and I'd imagine, you know the parents putting in the time that they give a drive up and down to training, all that comes to play when, you know, you see silverware in front of us today, but there's so much behind the scenes.
Oh, there is so much behind the scenes. You said, like, it is so demanding on them, I suppose. Like, we did train two nights a week, you know, midweek and usually weekend. If we had a game, we had two midweek, as you said, and that was a lot, because most of our training sessions obviously were between that 7 and 9, where they were hopping off school buses, getting a quick bite to eat, watching their nutrition, weren't you, girls? Yes. Getting the homework done probably in the car down. I said, mom and dad finishing up work, you know. I said, there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes, and as you said, like, it was the weather exactly the same, you know. We had hailstone in Bardov, we had sub-zero temperatures in both for it. We did have a nice evening in Inch Beach. There was one good night there.
Rare is wonderful.
Indeed. But there is just huge work that goes in behind the scenes. And, like, you know, if you're looking at the attendance across the year, oh my God, it was so rare that we had more than two or three missing, and it was genuine absences. Like, the commitment that was there with them, that's what brought them to that silverware. You know, it really was. All the training sessions, you know, I suppose, like, but Gerry O'Shea ran the legs off you, didn't she? But you're definitely the fittest 13 and 14 year olds inside the county. You know, but it was worth it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. They're all smiling today anyway, which is the most important thing. I suppose just from a development point of view then, Maria, I mean, you're working with girls 13, 14. It's kind of their first steps into a real Kerry jersey, and then you're kind of moving on up towards minor, will be coming up shortly, and then hopefully on to senior level. We might have a few here that'll be, we'll be interviewing all-stars, senior ladies in the future. 100%. But I suppose getting them in that age, it is a tough age, especially I think with girls, we often chat to us, girls playing rugby here a couple of weeks ago in as well. To kind of mix that kind of school, the move from, let's say, primary school into secondary school and in towards exams and everything else, it can be kind of hard to keep them playing. But, you know, to hear that it was over 60 imagery from the very start is real positive for the growth of the ladies' game in the county as well.
Absolutely. You know, I suppose, as you said there, you know, that when you're looking at development, that's really what's core at that age group. You know, that they're coming realistically from go games into really competitive football, and it's nurturing that. But as you said there, I suppose, like, it's the qualities that you see in these girls, and that's brought on from primary school with their teachers and obviously their parents, you know, said that idea of determination and commitment that's there. But it's love of football, you know, it has to be at the heart of it all for them too, you know, and that's what will really drive them on once they're really enjoying their football. Mm-hmm. They said, you know, the world is their oyster, you know.
Yeah, no, most definitely. I'm going to start with you, Orla, because we're going to go from left to right. So there's no one being picked first or last in this one. We'll go around the table. Orla, I suppose for you, I suppose kind of going in November, what do you kind of expect from the year ahead when you were going in with Kerry and under Maria, of course, as well? So is it difficult to go in November when the dark, wet nights and everything else?
Yeah, it was very difficult, but I was very excited to represent Kerry, and it was a great achievement to get picked from the 6 day. And yeah.
Yeah, what's it like kind of getting that call up to go in with a development team and train with so many other girls that you all have the one kind of goal that you want to go on and play with Kerry? So what's it like to kind of get the call to go in there, and I said, even if it comes in November, that you're willing to show up and get out on the pitch?
Yeah, it's great to play the matches and great to represent the crest, and good to train with the team, and the coaches were very good.
Yeah, and you're a Listowel, aren't you?
Yeah.
And what's from the kind of a club perspective then, I'm sure there's fierce pride in you being able to go off in with Kerry as well, is there?
Yeah. Everyone was very happy, yeah.
Yeah, that's great. And I suppose when you're coming from Listowel as well, you're right in the north side of the county, so I'm sure you've made friends from all over the county. We know how strong the ladies' football is in South Kerry and everything else, so I'm sure you've made plenty of new friends as well outside of your own area at home.
Yes, of course, yeah. These three girls here are, like, very good, and you could have friends for life from Kerry.
Yeah, and that's really important as well, isn't it? Especially at your age, to kind of get out. So you're going from kind of Listowel, we'll go to Rathmore next, and to Aisling, talk about opposite sides of the county. And again, and what Maria was saying, Aisling, about, you know, that kind of commitment and everything else, you know, you're probably the two furthest away from, if you want to call the centre of the county or mid-Kerry or whatever else. So a huge commitment for you coming in all that way. So, you know, it just goes to show, I suppose, what it means to play for Kerry, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely means a lot. Like, I suppose it was tough when we had school and we had homework to do, trying to get to training two nights a week. But once you got there, it was very enjoyable. And like Orla said, you make friends for life, so it was definitely worth it.
Yeah, you had a small bit of an injury this year, so you had a bit of extra work, did you?
Yeah, I was out. I had a knee injury around after the Munster final, kind of. And I was just working on that and building it up. So I took a break from a few trainings and then I was back then. Came on for the quarter final and then I was up to my full standard then again for the semi in final, thank God.
Yeah, you recovered right in the best time of the year, didn't you, to get in and play in the finals. Elizabeth, I suppose, talk to me a small bit about from the start of the year. So you went in November and you were training and everything else. When did you start playing your matches and who were they against?
We had a few challenge matches before our blitzes, but then we had like a challenge Munster blitz to get used to like the format of the games and stuff. And then we had a proper like Munster grading blitz, and we played against all the counties in Munster, mm-hmm. which determined whether we were in like an A, a B or a C final. And then from there we played our Munster final, our quarter final, our semi final, and then obviously our final a few weeks ago.
Yeah, so it's quite busy, isn't it? I mean, you're kind of, it's not that long. We're what, in June now, so say the bones of maybe 6 months you're kind of in and done. It's a quick season, isn't it?
Yeah, like we put in the work in like November and through the winter and stuff for the games, like in March, April, May and stuff. But it was quick, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't be long kind of coming and going. Your centre forward, I'm sure, look, the Brosnan name is well known in Crokes as well. So you've got a good idols, I think, from my own club as well in Clarny. But look, I suppose to kind of get out there and to be playing centre forward is a really important position on the pitch. We know it's kind of that transition from midfield up to front. So you're a good playmaker, I'd imagine, are you?
Well, yes, I would hope so, yeah.
Very modest punch,
yes,
Rhea.
Yes, very good, yes. We rehearsed, didn't we, girls?
Absolutely. And then, of course, playing in front of you then is Amy Rose, all the way from Southern Gales. We've got a right mix of all over the county in this evening. I suppose for you, Amy Rose, I mean, look, obviously we're often looking at a full forward as the poacher's finishing everything, getting the ball in up front, but I'm sure plenty of help from the other girls as well to keep the scoreboard ticking over.
Yeah, sure. If it wasn't for them, we wouldn't have won it. You know, it's a team effort altogether.
Yeah, and as you say, it is a team effort, and as Orla mentioned a little earlier on, it's kind of the bond you've gotten from everybody. You've kind of got a good team spirit by the sounds of it, and with so many in at the start, it can be kind of hard when there's battling for places and everything else. But it seems like you all want to play for each other, don't you?
We would, yeah, all for each other.
Yeah, no, 100%. How important is that, Maria? I mean, when you're kind of when you're looking at it from the grand scheme of things, you're kind of saying that, you know, that they're making friendships outside of their school network and everything else, and their friends and social media and everything else. But to kind of meet other people, like-minded people from all over the county, and then kind of to form that bond in such a short period of time, that you do want to go on and kind of win it for each other more than anything else.
No, absolutely. As you said, like, there was a huge bond with them, you know, and great understanding, you know. I suppose our objective was to instill in them a pride in the jersey, and that they were playing for each other, and that, I suppose, resonated through trainings and into our I suppose matches, really, that we started with our challenges in January. It's about giving everybody game time too, you know. That's really important. Like, everybody trains to play a game at the end of the day, you know, but as you said, when it kind of comes to, I suppose, the fine margins, like the quarters, semi-finals, we have to make decisions, you know. And I suppose we're probably not the favourite in the room at that moment in time, but there's an understanding that we're doing this together, you know, and it's for the team at the end of the day. We all want to walk out of there with our cup, and we all want to go home with our medal in our back pocket. So it is when they're on that field that they do or die. And I suppose that was kind of what we got you to do, wasn't it? Yeah, 100%. Fight for every ball that was in front of them, you know. Yeah. And if they missed it, forget about it and move on to the next one. That's it. But it was to fight for everybody and support each other out in the team. And look, I suppose that was the culture of what we kind of, I suppose, tried to instill in the girls this year. Mm-hmm. And hopefully they'll carry that forward and bring it back to their clubs. And they said, you know, lead from the front.
Yeah, I suppose when it does come to that, like that kind of, as you said, that bond does come with sort of that friendships and sort of knowing what, you know, Elizabeth might want the ball from Ashley, maybe might want to maybe kick it in down low or kick it in higher, or kind of, you know, that having that sort of bond between them and sort of in training, I'd imagine, it makes it so much easier then for you as a manager when there is kind of a good click in the group, doesn't it?
Very much so, you know. And I suppose, look, that really does, as you said, started the training ground, that they were all there together. They knew exactly what the plan was, you know, what the, I suppose, our tactics, for want of another word were. But yeah, it was fighting for everybody on that field that was there. And they did. They really supported each other. You know, I said, like, if somebody's head dropped, they were there to encourage each other. There was friendships before football.
Yeah, no, and that's really important as well. Orla, I'll come back around to you again, and I suppose when you're kind of looking at it and you're saying, you know, to win an All-Ireland final, it's, no matter what age it is, it's a fantastic medal to have in the back pocket, and most people have to be on their first year at under 14 and first time wearing the Kerry jersey. To go, what does kind of winning the All-Ireland mean to you and maybe your family back home as well?
It's very good because my sister won an All-Ireland medal, so to get another one's very good.
You've got the more recent bragging rights in your house, do you?
and it was great to just represent Kerry, and everyone was happy, and yeah, it's just great to see the smiles.
Yeah, no, 100%, and that is kind of a huge part of it as well. And for you, Ashley, I suppose, kind of, you know, you're looking at it and getting out and being able to lift the cup and everything else, it is a huge achievement for you, and I'm sure it'll only kind of make you want to stay in football even longer, won't it?
Yeah, definitely. Like, made a lot of great memories over the season and made lots of good friends. So, you know, it really makes you want to come back next year to see some of the faces again and Keith, like, we learned a lot from all our coaches, and you just want to learn more and more and get better and better, because, you know, we all love football and we want to do the best for the kingdom as well.
Yeah, and trophies are kind of a thing on success, isn't it? When you kind of win one, you don't want to lose the next one, so you'll be in a little winning habit from early doors, and you go up into 15s and 16s, and then we're kind of looking at minor level as well. So plenty more to look forward to in the Kerry jersey, I'd imagine, for you, Ashling.
Hopefully, yeah, just, well, back with the club now and try to do the best for that, and then by the end of the year, then we'll hope to get back and, you know, see what happens then.
Yeah, no, 100%. And Elizabeth, I suppose for you, look, I suppose all Ireland medals are definitely well known with the Brostons in Dr. Crokes. But to add your own little one, it's a nice little piece of history, I'd imagine, for you. You'll be proud of that one on the mantelpiece. I suppose, what does it mean for you to win the All Ireland and kind of maybe to push you on again for the next couple of years?
Yeah, it's a great thing to win anyway, and it's like, it's really encourages you to go again and keep trying to get the next one and keep getting better at football and keep going again for like East Kerry and Crokes and for Kerry as well.
Yeah, and it does kind of give you that kind of belief that you can kind of win another one, I'd imagine, now the fact you've got one under your belt at under 14 to be able to kind of push on more and more now as you kind of get older and into the older age groups as well.
Yeah, definitely. It keeps like making us want more and keeps pushing us on to do better and keep getting more and more and like keep taking away with the games and the trainings and stuff.
Yeah, and obviously the Kerry senior is probably the end goal, isn't it, for most of you, Elizabeth? And I'd imagine you'd be looking at that in years to come, that maybe the girls we were chatting about in the first hour, as I said, we might be chatting your names in a couple of years' time as well. But I suppose, would that be the dream to line out for Kerry maybe in Croke Park someday in a senior All-Ireland final or a league final or maybe a Munster title like Kerry won a couple of weeks ago as well?
Yeah, definitely. It's like a dream of, I'd say, all of ours to just line up for the Kerry seniors and, I don't know, like represent Kerry at a senior level for the ladies.
Yeah, that's kind of the end goal for everyone, isn't it? And I suppose, Eamon Rose, for you, and I asked this to the other girls, I meant to say this to Jordan as well, I suppose you had a long old spin up for training and everything else, so kind of the commitment level for the year, I'm sure you saw with all the other girls as well, but a huge amount of time got into to earn that piece of silver that's on the table now.
Yeah, sure, it had to be done, but luckily enough this year, there was more of us, so we were taking turns and all that.
Oh, so you were sharing the spins up and everything, so Mum and Dad weren't under too much pressure?
Yeah, not too much.
Yeah, that's important too, though, isn't it? I mean, and when you come in with kind of a couple of girls from the local area and the same club and everything else, probably important you can kind of, you know, be able to share the drives and maybe talk about it, come back in the car and learn a bit more about your other teammates as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Let
you know more.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I suppose with Southern Gales as well, a really important club down there in South Kerry and doing wonders for the game. I suppose we often talk about South Kerry in this programme and talk about maybe girls going away and moving up to out of the area and everything else. But Southern Gales doing a lot of work down that side to keep girls playing football, aren't they?
Yeah, a lot of football done down there and great girls as well.
Yeah, no, 100%. No, it is a great club. Maria, are you staying on next year? Will you move on with this group?
That's a question for the county board now. That's not a question for me at all.
Well, I'm sure, like as I said, trophies are the currency of success in football. But I suppose you enjoyed the year as well, didn't you?
No, absolutely. As you said, like there's commitment there, obviously, with the girls and their families and the parents, but equally on the side of management, you know, when you're looking at training sessions there, like we could be in, oh God, and you know, it's literally any part of the county. We could be in Beaufort, we could be out in Barrow-Dove, we could be down in Carsley, and everybody said in management, we all have our own personal lives too, we all have families, we all have jobs, you know, I said nobody gets paid for this role, just to make that clear, we didn't get paid for minding you at all, you know, I said it's love of the game, you know, it is, you know, that we really just want to be involved and help the girls as much as possible, you know, I suppose try to impart some of our knowledge on them, you know, and really give them, I suppose, every opportunity to go off and keep wearing that Kerry jersey, you know, up along hopefully into the 16s minors, and as I said, I've no doubt in my mind that the girls sitting here are all star quality for senior ladies. Absolutely.
Yeah. No, it's great to hear as well that the talent is most definitely there. Orla, talk to me about the final. It was a fairly close affair, was it? Were you under a small bit of pressure for a while?
Yeah, in the back line we were under a lot of pressure, but our back line got rid of the ball and up to the forwards, and sure, the forwards finished it in the back of the net. So.
They did a job for you up front as well, but I suppose crucial in All-Ireland final, or do you kind of, you know, keep the game tight and no matter how much pressure you're kind of under, try to stop as many scores going over and like that up the other end, try to get as many as you can.
Yeah, the tactics from Jerry helped a lot.
And Brian, don't forget about Brian.
That's actually, and it's important actually as well, Maria, because I know you're here this evening representing, but Niamh gave me a long, long list of people that are involved.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we thank the parents and everything else, but I'm sure like the whole backroom team, huge effort by everybody.
No, everybody. And I suppose, like, you know, that you sum it up lovely when you go the two Kerrys and the two Brians and the two Seans, you know what I mean? But the same thing, like, they're coming from all over, you know, whether it's Jerry, as I said, down Kenmare direction, or Brian is over in Beaufort, or the other Brian is Cremon. Like, we're coming, as you said, Kerry was coming back direction from Onascall. You know, it's fantastic that you have so many individuals that are willing to give up their time to help the girls, you know, because like I know some of them now absolutely that they had their own children involved in it, but some of us didn't, you know, at all. Like, there was no, I suppose, kind of allegiance to any of you really, you know, it was kind of being selective about our players and the idea of kind of putting them in the best positions to go out and win the football. But as I said, regardless of the management team that's there, and they said the county board, you know, like here was fantastic. Jerry Fitz kept us plied with pancakes every trick that we took, you know what I mean? Nora was hunting for fields left, right and centre for us. You know, I suppose you have to remember, as we said there, like it's November right through to February. You look at the weather here, like we're still in rain, you know, and everybody's trying to protect the grass. And unfortunately, we don't have our own little home, you know, that we are dependent on literally other parishes, you know, communities and and different teams to kind of give us their pitches, you know, and that's a big ask too, you know, when they're trying to prioritise their own club, and understandably so, you know, as I said, like Beaufort were absolutely fantastic, you know, and Barra Dove, they were brilliant. Castle Gregory, were you the crowd that had to hunt sheep in the morning, the Saturday morning? No? Was that the development squad off the pitch?
I did that years ago in Douala thing, a hurling match,
bonding,
would you believe it?
Great bonding sessions is what they are, you know, but as I said, but it was like, I suppose, like, the success of these girls, it's built on obviously, yes, all the commitment between the management and the county board, but it came back down to the clubs too, because they said without them, we wouldn't have been able to facilitate training sessions for them, you know. So I suppose, like, you know, thanks where it's due, you know.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Girls, unfortunately, we're out of time. Fingers crossed, maybe in 12 months or maybe 24 months, you'll be back here with an under 16 one, and maybe then, as you said, on to minor. But best of luck. Enjoy your summer off, or wherever you might end up for your summer holidays, and back in junior cert next year. Is it?
Yeah. The excitement. Big studying starting now, girls.
This time next year, you'll be studying for an exam. So, count yourselves lucky this evening. Girls, thanks, Maria.
Thanks for bringing them all in.
And we'll chat to you again soon.
We'll head
for a break on Terrace Talk.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel. Proud to support the heart of Kerry Sport.
Now, you're welcome back to Terrace Talk. I mentioned two our Camogie girls as well, unfortunately beaten by Antrim in round two of the Glen Dimplex Intermediate Championship last week, or over the weekend rather, and of course beat down the previous week. So a big game coming up in 2 weeks' time against Derry, if Kerry are to come out of their Intermediate Championship group in that one. Commiserations to them on the defeat to Antrim, but fingers crossed a better result at home to Derry upcoming on the weekend after next here in Tralee. Now, on May 28th and 29th, Ukraine's leading skeleton athlete Vladislav Haraskovich visited the kingdom. Earlier this year, he made headlines at the Milano Cortina Winter Olympics after being disqualified for attempting to compete in what he called his Helmet of Memory, a tribute featuring the portraits of more than 24 Ukrainian athletes and coaches who have lost their lives during the war in Ukraine. Well, while Olympic authorities deemed the helmet a political statement, many athletes around the world rallied behind Haraskovich, viewing it instead as a powerful message about remembrance and human rights. Well, in my absence during the week, Tim Moynihan sat down with Vladislav to discuss the controversy, his sporting career and the story behind the helmet.
Vladislav, before we go into your global recognition, both as a sportsman and what you really stand for and what's happening in your country, you were born in Kiev, and that seems to hit a high note here in the news here in Ireland at the moment. You're described as the most prominent skeleton racer and the first Ukrainian athlete to qualify for the Olympics. Will you give us a little bit of background, how you got into the sport and how you developed and you came to the level you are at right now?
Yeah, it's quite a unique sport, an exotic sport for Ukraine. And quite a long time ago, we had a bobsleigh team in Ukraine. And my dad was part of this team in 90s. And then bobsleigh also became, I would say, too expensive for our country. And it's also vanished. But we get proposed to try skeleton. And we started in Latvia. And it's like for a big brother for us, Latvian team. They teach us all. And in my 14, 15 years old, I tried first time skeleton. I fell in love with this sport. And we started together with my dad develop the sport in Ukraine.
So it really came from your father, I suppose, the love of the sport. And he was your coach as well.
Yes. Until now, he's coaching me. So we are also moving till now as a team.
Vladislav, outside of your background in sport, you know, you go to the 2022 Winter Olympics in Beijing. Was that really used as a, I won't say a platform, but you I suppose you were recognised as the person that... you had a sign, no war in Ukraine, and that was shortly before the full invasion by the Russians in Ukraine. Was that, how can I say it, was that something you were thinking about before you went out and performed?
Yes, because already before Olympics in 2022 started, we already had a lot of news about Russian troops surrounding Ukrainian borders. And it was just, I would say, I tried to use this platform to pay attention to what's going on in Ukraine. because definitely at this point we didn't have a full-scale war. At this point, I already understand that I don't want to have war in my country. And if you ask me now, like, what I'm thinking about this action, I would repeat it 1,000 times, because what we have now every day in Ukraine, it's terrible. Even this night was terrible shelling in Ukraine, and it's going on like for almost more than 4 years already. And it's a huge tragedy what we have now in Ukraine, and we need to stop it. And back then, I tried to do, I would say, what I can to do in my position, and I tried to prevent, I would say.
Did you have any personal experiences yourself of the war that really motivate you? I understand about the oppression in your country, Vladislav, but have you had any personal experiences yourself?
Yes, because we are running charity foundation since 2022, and we deliver a lot of supplies to our combat medic departments, battalions. And we were in many places, like nearly the front line. And it's definitely terrible. We visited deoccupied cities. Back then in 2022, we visited Ukrainian district, Kyiv district, Kyiv region. We visited Irpin, Bucha, and it's terrible to see. And you're going through these like neighborhoods, and it just burned houses and destroyed cars. Yeah, it's just terrible, because thousands of people are being killed, and I don't know. It's hard to describe even with words. Also, I visited a lot of funerals of my friends who were killed on this war already, and it's very strange experience, because you feel yourself, you feel like you living in different reality. That it's not real, you know, like you're feeling that like it's a movie and it will end soon, but it's not the case.
I can't imagine how serious it is. Can we move forward then to the recent Olympics, the 2026? Yeah. And you designed a special helmet, and obviously that's when you were banned. Could you understand how the Olympic movement really doesn't want politics or to use it as a platform? But you described it as a memorial for your friends or athletes, stroke coaches, people that have passed away.
Yeah. For me, it's not still understandable why I was suspended, because as I remember in history of Olympics, it was many cases when people tried to show some act of remembrance for their colleagues or for their coaches or for their relatives. It was often the case in many Olympics. Some moments like that, let's say 2008 Olympics in Beijing, when Matthias Steiner, Germany weightlifter, was raising photo of his passed away wife at award ceremony, and it was totally fine for IOC. And they still remember this as a beautiful moment in their history. Even talk about this particular Olympics, we had Maxim Naumov, figure skater from US, who was able also to raise photo of his parents who passed away in airplane crash a couple of years ago. And even above ice rink where he were competing, it was also a quote about them. And also he supported that act. But in case of my helmet, for some reason it became a problem for IOC. But again, I want to remind that on the helmet we don't have any national symbols of Ukraine. We don't even have flag of Ukraine on helmet. So it's just pictures, paintings of the athletes who were killed in this war. So I don't think that it's a political statement, or it's could be used in advertising, or that it violates any other IOC rules.
And the IOC committee, Vladislav, they ruled the helmet as a violation of Olympic rules, but they offered you an alternative as well, to wear a black armband. And that's something that you refused.
First of all, it was not a proposal to other athletes. As I told you already, US figure skater was able to raise photo of his family members. A Jewish skeleton athlete from Israel was able to carry also a national hat with names of Israeli athletes who were killed in Olympic 72 when it was terrorist attack. And he was able to do it in opening ceremony. Then we had a Canadian free skier who was able to put quote about also her colleague who passed away. And it was also not covered, and she didn't use a band on her arm or something like that. I believe even this proposal was discriminative. So, I had all rights to use this helmet. Another thing that also many people try to avoid, but it's my helmet. Yeah, so like it's built for me. Like if you know about how it's been made, helmet for skeleton, particularly this model, it's been made with 3D print of your head. Yeah, so like it fits you perfectly. I don't had at the time, I don't had another helmet like that. So it's one of one. I didn't see like any other helmets which was proposed by IOC or by International Federation. They never showed me any helmet. So it was not a discussion that I should change helmet, what is best, what works best for me for aerodynamics.
Your appeal then was rejected. Can I ask you, was it more beneficial to you? It captured, I suppose, a global audience then, because several of the high-flying media areas around our world, you know, made note of it and it made headlines. Was it more beneficial to you by it being rejected, and you said about the refusing of the black armband? Do you think you got more attention because of the result?
It's hard to say, like, in terms of beneficial, because you should understand that as a professional athlete, we are getting ready for Olympic Games for a long time, and it was a lot of effort, a lot of work to put in, like, in the last 4 years, but originally from the beginning of my career, to be at this position at this Olympic Games, to be so fast also at the training days, to be one of the medal contenders on the Olympic Games, and it's hard to say like it was beneficial for me. Another thing that, yeah, definitely it brings a lot of attention to the Ukraine, and I think it's a good, if we can see something good from this disqualification, it's definitely that a lot of people pay attention to Ukraine at the moment, and I think it's great. But again, like, it was not because of my actions, but it was because of IOC, because IOC, I believe IOC made this helmet political, because they try to refuse to wear it without no real reason. And I believe I was not able to wear this helmet just because I'm Ukrainian. If the same thing was could be done by another athlete, he could freely use it, but not me. So I believe that's IOC who made it political and who bring all this attention. So IOC plays a role as a PR company, I would say, in this scandal.
Vladislav, how do you navigate between balancing being a sportsman, and you're an advocate as well for what's happening in Ukraine. So how do you balance both being a sportsman and making a statement?
I think it could be similar to some Gaelic Football Association like at the time. Yeah. So in my opinion, you cannot stand aside when such a terrible tragedy happens at your home. I cannot pretend that I'm not connected to Ukraine, or like that I have nothing to do with that. So I try to do my best to work as a charity foundation. I try to advocate things what I believe is right. And so I try to find this balance. And it's definitely hard, but it's, I think, hard for every Ukrainian right now. When you live in Kyiv, like, and you have all these shellings, when you cannot have your proper training schedule as an athlete, it's definitely hard to be ready for competition. But again, like, for me, it's, I would say it's my moral compass, and I try to navigate with this moral compass.
And we'll be back with the second part of Tim's chat with Vlad after we take this quick break on Terrace Talk.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel. Proud to support the heart of Kerry sports.
Now we return to the chat with Ukraine's leading skeleton athlete, Vladislav Horaskovich, with our own Tim Moynihan.
Vladislav, you did a recent tour of Ireland, and we call it a speaking tour. How did that result for you? Did you get opportunities? And I'm sure that there's connections in manufacturing areas with Russia, be it byproducts, be it other plans. Was that something you were trying to highlight in this country?
Yes, of course. And also, I was really deeply happy, like, to learn more about Ireland, because it was my first visit to Ireland, and it's such a beautiful country. I also got a chance to visit universities, and I was at the University of Limerick. I was in MTU, and it's such a great facilities. I get the opportunity to learn more about hurling, about Gaelic football. I even tried to play a little bit hurling. And it's such a amazing to see, like, how people are united in country around these sports, which internationally is pretty unknown. Also, I get a chance to visit Parliament, Ireland Parliament, and it, for me, Irish Parliament, and for me, it's also a very unique experience. And of course, we talked about Ukraine a lot. I also get a chance to visit Ukraine diaspora, who is now living in Ireland, and to hear some feedback from them, because they spent much more time in Ireland than me. And everyone is so, I would say, talking so positive about your country.
There's quite a few of your country people or fellow country people living in Ireland at the moment. I take it the vibes are good back in your country, how they've adapted to living here, and I suppose the hospitality of the Irish.
Yeah, I believe their feedback was pretty nice, and they're happy to be part of this country. people who I met, like I think most of them, they're already working in Ireland and they're pretty happy to be part of this community. Also, in universities, we're able to talk a lot about inclusivity, because I think it's also a big case now in Ukraine, because we have now a lot of veterans, people who get injured in the war in Ukraine. And for me, it's very nice to also see this experience of Irish people and try to also implement it in some our projects, what we're now running with our foundation, because I know that the Paralympic team is pretty big and pretty strong in Ireland, and you have experience. I also visited some university facilities, sport facilities, and I saw a lot of inclusive gyms where you can do a lot of exercises when you are in a wheelchair. And I believe that we are able to implement it in our future project. We want to build a sport ground, outdoor sport ground, in one of the districts in Kyiv. And I believe that this experience will be very important.
And Vladislav, you've gained recognition as well in your own country. You've got the Medal of Freedom from your president.
Yeah, it was at Munich Security Conference, yes.
And what did that mean to you? It's something you probably didn't advocate to get, but you ended up with it. So that's a huge honor.
I would say I'm very thankful for support, but I would not say it was so much support from people all around the world. And of course, it's really nice to see that whole country are standing behind you. And for me, I think it's much more valuable than any medal and Medal of Freedom. So recognition from people is much more important for me. And I believe that now for me, more valuable is to also use this attention to bring some good things for people who need it with our charity foundation. So for me, it's much more valuable than Medal of Freedom.
And is that the tangible change or outcome you're hoping to achieve by, well, we'll call it a statement?
I wouldn't say that it was a statement. So for me, it was important when if we're talking about Helmet of Memory, for me, it was important part is to remember these athletes, to honor them on Olympic stage, because a lot of athletes from this helmet, some athletes I knew personally, some athletes were representatives of Olympic sports. So as me, when I was a kid, many of them were also dreaming about to be part of Olympic Games. And it was, I would say, main reason. Another reason, it was to support their families, because it's also very, I would say, unspoken topic, what family going through when their relative are being killed in such a young age. So for them, it's such a tragedy, and it's important to support them, to show some act of remembrance. And all after it happened, and after it went, this news went around the world, when I talked with this family, they were so thankful that their kids are remembered, that they're not erased from the history. So for them, it's very important. And it was my main goal. So I would say, this goal was successful. So the whole world were talking about these athletes, and I'm very thankful for that.
Vladislav, you mentioned at the outset as well that even today we're hearing in our own news here in Ireland, and I'm sure it's across the globe as well, that Russian aggression has continued. But as late as today, I think there was 11 people that died, and that it was buildings where civilians are living. That must really hurt. Does that mean as well that the Ukrainians are really putting up a battle on the ground, that Russia has now to go down another route?
I believe so. And I think it's also some symbol of desperate, and so first of all, it's terrorism. Like it's, I like to call things by its names. And when they're attacking Kyiv, like as they attacked today, like, or latest was the 24th, before that shelling, it was 24th May when I was in Kyiv. And it's terrible. They just attacking civilian buildings. So it's not a military target or something like that. So they just attacking civilian buildings. They try to scare people. They try to bring some chaos to our cities. And it's definitely terrible. But I believe in Ukraine army, and I believe that they are standing strong. I believe in our technology, and I believe in our future.
Vladislav, do you think this war is going to end anytime soon, or will it just have more longevity?
I would say we all hope that it will end as soon as possible, because price of every day of this war, like, is people's lives, and it's terrible. It's such a huge price. And even today, like before our interview, I get to know that one of my friends were killed in this war, and it feels surreal. Like it's just terrible to see. But at the same time, like we don't have any guarantee that it will be finished like tomorrow or in 1 week or 1 month. So we try to continue our work. We try to continue to support Ukraine, and we try to continue to support some youth generation too. So it's for me now, it's more important to be concentrated on the work, but not think about like what if. So try to do work today and then think about future. And I would say, yeah, so hope for the best and prepare for the worst. So, like, we try to prepare for the worst.
And that's the war side of it. What about your sporting development for the next Olympics? I take it you spend a lot of time, obviously, I'll take that word statement out of it, but highlighting what's happening in your country. Is it a huge barrier then for you to progress or develop more for the next Olympics?
Definitely, but I already was in the same situation for the last 4 years, and I was able to be in very good shape at the Olympic Games. So we will continue to do the same thing. So we will continue to advocate for Ukraine. I will continue to work with my charity foundation. I will continue to do skeleton and develop skeleton sport in Ukraine, and to support our also junior team, because it's very talented kids and they also need this support, especially at these times. And of course, I will continue to visit many countries, any other countries, and try to continue to talk about Ukraine, to make all these interviews and try to talk more about what's going on in Ukraine. I believe it's very important.
And finally, our national sport here, well, I suppose it's divided among two disciplines. We have Gaelic football, and you mentioned earlier, we have hurling. Your trip to Croke Park, it's a unique place. The Holy Grail, we call it, in this side of the world. Did you enjoy your visit to Croke Park?
Yes, and it was wonderful. Again, like I want to mention once more time that it's such a unique to see, like, so that people are so united around own sports, which are not recognized, like, international. Yeah, so it's not very famous, I would say, abroad, but to see such a huge stadium, like 82,000 people can fit into there, like, and it's a massive, like, scale is huge, and people are so connected, and in every village you have own team, like, and kids are, we were visiting some university facilities in MTU, and we were going, like, and they have, like, soccer pitches, and then they have Gaelic football pitches, and soccer pitches are like empty, and the whole kids, like, just playing hurling, or they playing Gaelic football, and it's amazing to see, you know, like that people are so united. And also place is very special. And I believe it's also have a very special place in Irish history. Of course, I will talk about 1920, about Bloody Sunday. It feels like a patriotic center of Ireland.
Yeah,
if I may say that.
That's good to hear. And we're the kings down here as well, by the way. We've 39 All-Ireland titles. We're leading the way. So, and that's one other thing before I let you go. There's a lot of young Ukrainian kids, boys and girls, getting involved in games here as well. And that's good for, I suppose, the engagement here of those kids that have been, they had to leave their own country and come here. So it's nice that they're adapting to our culture as well.
Yes, and from my experience, we already held many events, mostly in Germany. It's called Kindersporttag, but we also held a couple of events like that with my foundation in Ukraine for Ukrainian kids. And I believe sport is playing a very nice role as a recovery. But also from abroad, what I see, like, sports plays amazing role as a connection, as a bridge between countries, between people and between kids. Because first of all, language of sport is very unique, so you cannot understand each other. Like I would say, you cannot speak Irish or English, but you can play and you understand each other, and you engaged and you're having some fun. And you at the end of the day, you have many new friends, and then life is better, and you not think so much about what's going on, like, and about war. And I believe it's very important for kids who is leaving country, especially for kids who were in occupied territories or, like, on nearly front lines, who was sitting in a bomb shelter for months. For them, it's very important. And I believe sports, it's amazing bridge to also connect these kids to Ireland community in this case.
Absolutely. Great stuff, Vladislav. Thanks a million for coming on and speaking to us this evening. And hopefully you highlighted different things in your country. But sport is a brilliant medium of engaging with people. So thanks a million for coming on Terrace Talk.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
There you go. That's Vladislav Haraskovic speaking to Tim on his visit to the kingdom during the week at one of the top skeleton competitors in the world and was at the Winter Olympics most recently as well. Before we finish up, one text I want to mention. It says, Ivan, a Kerry grandmother here, a mediocre hurling fan, but the lads had the Cork Limerick game on here in our kitchen yesterday. Before long, all three generations of us were drawn into the excitement of this scintillating game, memorable for the grandchildren. Our football match, not on free tier next Saturday, is disappointing for us seniors, but more of a loss to our youngsters. If you can't see it, you can't be it. We'll have weeks of wall-to-wall soccer coming up. Thank God for Tim and Ambrose for us radio heads. Well, the games will be on the weekend with Tim and Ambrose. Thanks to everyone on the programme this evening. I'll do it all again next Monday evening.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel. Proud to support the heart of Kerry sports.